call this meeting to order. Will everybody please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance and invocation. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please bless everybody who's here. Please bless our residents. Please guide our meeting this evening. Please be with our emergency services and our military. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Layman?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Item 5, citizens' participation. One signed up, Adam Zarb Cousin, regarding Greater Joy.
Happy to defer to when it's on the agenda.
Okay, you want to wait to the agenda item? Yeah. All right. All right, item 6A, consideration of an action on the regular and public hearing meeting minutes of June 28th. I will entertain a motion.
Chair, make a motion to accept the minutes of June 28th.
We have a motion by Councilmember Layman, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to accept the meeting minutes for June 28th. Is there any discussion? All in favor, raise your right hand. Item 7A, Fire Department presentation of a life-saving award. We'll turn this over to Assistant Chief Hilburn.
Gentlemen, Council, and citizens of Kirby. This evening we are gathered to recognize the valiant efforts of Captain Stephen Roller, Sarah Perez, Nick Christie, Justin Morris, Eric Lopez, as well as our Officer Eric Boston. A brief history of this. On the morning of June 4th, Kirby EMS and Fire Department was dispatched to the residence of a young female that was unresponsive. Within our small community, the Kirby Police Department often responds with our fire department as well as EMS when officers are available to do so. On this particular day, this was the case. Officer Vasquez was able to respond to the residence along with other officers from the Kirby Police Department. Upon Officer Vasquez's arrival onto the scene, he found the young lady pulseless and began CPR. Kirby EMS and Fire Department arrived on location and continued CPR. After several attempts to revive the young patient, their group effort was rewarded with the return of a pulse. The patient was transported to a local hospital where after a few weeks was discharged home. This is a prime example of how the chain of survival works with a great teamwork. I'm proud not only to be brother in arms with these five individuals, but to work with them, each and every one of them. I'm also proud to introduce to you the Lifesaver recipients of June 2018 of Captain Stephen Dollett, firefighter paramedic, Sarah Brett, firefighter EMT, Nick Christie, firefighter EMT, Justin Morris, firefighter EMT, Eric Lopez, and Officer Eric Vasquez. Also, tonight joining us is Dr. Reagan, our medical director, to hand out the awards.
I'd just like to say that I've been working with Kirby EMS as their medical director.
States. And to get a pulse back on a 13-year-old girl after a full cardiac arrest, it's just madness. It's just amazing. You know, a lot of people that collapse out of the hospital, they have less than 10% chance of living. But the average survival rate in the United States. So for this to go as well as it did is a real commendation for our EMS here in Kirby, and I just want to say congratulations to all of you. You work very hard. Stephen Cohen. Justin Morris.
Chief Alfaro, would you like to say some
I just wanted
words?
To say that, yes, ma'am. I'm sorry I was late. I was at the ESD meeting. But I just want to say on the record that I am exceptionally proud of these people that stand by. I am humbled, and it is absolutely a privilege to have these people stand behind me and to be able to do this type of work for all of us. Like I've always said, I trust them with my life. As you can see, you're a prime example of the way they work. And like I said, I am humbled and privileged to be able to mentor these young guys and be able to help them out and gals. So for that, I thank y'all for allowing me that opportunity.
And our city council, we also appreciate everything that y'all do day in and day out. That's one thing that I believe that everybody always knows is that emergency services are there. This response times, whether it be our dispatchers who filled those calls to the very end of them being transported to coming back to the station and suiting up and doing it all over again. So thank you very much for serving our community. Item 8A, discussion and possible action on ordinance number 0-2018-842 to repeal ordinance number 0-2005-618 and to remove stop intersections at Vinecrest Drive and Cinderella Street and at Swan Lane and Telegraph Street from Schedule 1 of Chapter 72 of the Code of Ordinances. This is the second reading. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion that we accept get the dates right here. Ordinance number 02018-842, repeal ordinance number 02005-618, to remove the stop signs at the intersection of Vinecrest and Cinderella and Swan Lane and Telegraph from Schedule 1, Chapter 72 of the Code of Ordinances.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept ordinance number 0-2018-842. Is there any further discussion? Chief, do you have any additional comments? All right. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Akadaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number 0-2018-842 passes for the second reading. Our chief will be contacting or getting that information out to those residents as stated previously. Item 8B, discussion and possible action on a request from Donna Charette to conduct a rummage sale using the parking lot located at 5510 Defic Drive to benefit hand-me-down hounds. Miss Donna is a longtime volunteer of the Kirby Bear Animal Facility. Her and her senior friends go around and they actually do rummage sales in different areas. They've actually done one at Walmart before, and they raise funds for different animal advocacy throughout San Antonio. This one, they've chosen Hand-Me-Down Hounds. Hand-Me-Down Hounds is also one of the organizations that rescues the current animals that we have in our shelter, but also in surrounding San Antonio as well. So Miss Donna was asking to use the parking lot that's actually not in front of the office building, if you will, but actually in the parking lot where the actual kennels are. In addition to that, if granted, there would also be a low-cost vaccination clinic being offered to anyone that wanted to go. That is done by actually the vet, Dr. Baston, who actually is with Hand-Me-Down Hounds as well. They would be offering rabies shots, parvo shots, heartworm tests, nail trims, and that would be from 10 a.m. to noon for that. And then the actual rummage sale that they're requesting is 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the proceeds or the funds that would raise would be going back to Hand-Me-Down Hounds. That's the one that they chose this time.
Well, Mayor, make a motion to accept.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept the request from Donna Charette. Is there any further discussion?
What date?
Oh, I'm sorry. It is October 20th. She is asking that if October 20th doesn't work, the rain date would be October 27th.
That's fine by me.
Sure. Right. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Akadaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Yes. Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Item 8C, discussion and possible action regarding the traffic on Ben Zingelman Road. I will turn this over to Chief Gilbert. I'm not sure which one.
Let me just start on the traffic. After last meeting and some of the things that we were seeing that were happening in that intersection, and then the heavy rains on the 4th, muddy conditions really warranted us to go in and take action and actually fully close that road to all traffic, with the exception of the people who actually live on there. As of the last check I made this afternoon, the road is still closed. We haven't had any other concerns that have been filed with the police department on traffic at that particular block. There have been other issues that
questions? Item 8D, update discussion and possible action on the construction project on Ben Zingelman.
As Chief explained, we went ahead and took action to close the road. The issue we were having at that point was the residents were unable to park in their driveways due to the construction that was going on. They removed a lot of the drivers out there to try to go back and do them as quickly as possible, do them all done at once. Unfortunately, we had a couple of rain days there that affected it, and the material that was put back wasn't stable enough. The rain kind of came unexpected. I wasn't expecting it at the time either. So there's a couple of residents that were upset at the inconvenience. They could not park in their driveways, and the two-way traffic that was making it kind of tight for them to park on the sides. There was room, and it was very tight, so we went ahead and closed the street on there to accommodate them to get to their homes. As of now, they're working on driveways. They actually poured a couple. We went there and did an inspection today, had a couple things corrected as far as concrete goes and construction side. You know, the concrete's not straight flush, you know, when there's pieces left over, you got to cut that, take it out. They did that before they poured, so we're talking about a couple things moving forward with Ben Zingelman, and I'll give y'all an update on that moving forward as we go along. And looking to go ahead and continue keeping the road closed. That way it's better for the residents as well as construction workers over there. The detour signs, the whole 9 yards of that is explained in detail as to how to set up traffic, where to reroute them, and to communicate the public so they know exactly where to go. Myself, I drive through there, and I've got to make sure that the foreman or project manager in charge has to do that daily just to make sure, again, that you're communicating. Not everybody's a construction worker, so not everybody's going to understand things. Even type 3 barricades, if the lines are going down this way, that means traffic needs to move this way. Not everybody knows that. So, quick communication is why we had a meeting today and went over a couple of other items that we're looking at as far as the building overlay, the percentages, couple driveways, couple sidewalks, we made adjustments there, and have any suggestions as well to put some of the wheelchair racks and possibly make adjustments on that, which could be along with save us money. So that's up to you from there. Any further questions?
Can you give us the fire hydrant update?
Fire hydrant update? Okay.
With that in that area. That is in this area.
Okay, now this is phase one. Okay, we had went out there to go ahead and get a shutdown. We want to make sure that we plan the shutdown, know who's affected by the shutdown, so that way we can have the 48 hours to notify the public that you're going to be out of water 46 hours today. That's necessary. Unfortunately, some of the valves aren't exactly where they're said to be in the map, so we have to extend the shutdown. We are working on the practice. We had a little bit of training with the guys to notify them that if you have a valve, you don't just turn it until it gets tight. You need to count the turns. We'll have done the diameter of the pipe times 3 plus 2 due to the amount of turns, which is basically 1. So we have luckily we have the Vactron machine, which we can do it with the machine, count the turns. We don't have to do it by hand. It can be pretty strenuous, especially since a lot of these valves haven't been working for years. You get buildup in the system, and they don't close correctly. So we went out there, had a little bit of training session with the guys. They caught on, they understand, they're doing what they need to do. So we worked a lot of valves. A lot of it's, and moving forward again, and I want to notify the city or the other residents as well. We're going to have to do this throughout the project. We're going to have to work the valves. So unfortunately, we had to extend the shutdown. We found an area right there on the northwest. Corner of Alan Shepherd and Buzz Aldrin, the what senior center in the park is at, shows to be a valve right there. So there is no valve there, and when I open the box that's there, there's actually a 1-inch blow off there, which it looks like a regular 1-inch service. We actually made contact with the past employee that one of my guys knew and found out there is an main there. So the map that we have, we're putting in pencil and marking it out. We're trying to update that as much as possible. I spoke with Mark about getting more updated maps, getting them digital, so we can go ahead and keep track of everything that we do and be more courteous, you know, to our residents. Unfortunately, we're going to have to continue this process moving on. I'm going to do my best to notify. We did put up a notification for the residents before. beforehand. However, in working on those routes, we had to extend the shutdown. In the past, when we were working on Happiness, we shut down a couple valves unknowingly, and it unknowingly shut down a huge section of Kirby.
Yes.
So that right there, we have this trial and error as of now, and I ask that the residents please be patient with us because we are working to try to get this resolved. But we're going to have to continue doing this with every fire hydrant that we're going to need to move out of the sidewalk. So right now we have a shutdown. We verified it. It's a little bit bigger than we wanted it to be, but that's how we got to work with it. So that process, in doing so, we're able to communicate with the contractor. I give them the valves. He knows where they're at. I send a foreman out there when they're doing it to make sure it's done accordingly and make sure that nobody else is affected that doesn't have to be affected. So we know who's going to be on the shutdown now, and I will put that online, and they will be handing out flyers to all those streets. And it's going to be a 48-hour notice the way it's supposed to be. So moving forward, we did get a shutdown. I apologize for those that were affected by the shutdown. And it was supposed to be momentarily. But how this works is, you know, you shut the water off in a certain area, and you turn off valves, and the last valve you turn off is the valve that's going to kill it. And you go to that last valve, and you have somebody on the fire hydrant over here with the high hydrant open. So theoretically, you should just shut off that one valve, and it will shut everything off. And then you can turn it back on in 10 to 15 minutes. That didn't happen. We shut down Vince Engelman and part of Blue Spruce, I believe. And that, I had to leave that off to verify the shutdown because of the location of the valves and the way the hydraulics work in the inner lines. So I had to leave that off, and unfortunately I did. And I spoke to the owners, and I explained it to them, and kind of let them know, you know, we're here to try to make this better. And, you know, my thing is the public works that we talked about, we're doing a great job, you know, so we're working on it. And so we got to get shut down on the 05, and the hydro will be moved on the 24th. So I'm going to try to notify on, I spoke with the contractor today, we'll make a notification that Thursday they're going to give me the letter. I'm going to read over it, edit it, send it to the chief voice of Monique. The Monique should be here by then. And then she'll go ahead and proofread it, okay, and I'll send it out, send it back to them, they'll make the flyers and hand it out to the residents 48 hours ahead of time. And then I'll put it online as well.
And the subcontractors, are we, is that communication between contractors and subcontractors?
Yes.
Because that was a huge communication gap before with certain things.
We went over that this morning in the meeting that we had, and part of that is they're going to have at least a project manager on site or a foreman on site.
Good.
To make sure, because I believe what happened is he was trying to not take everything out all at once and then do everything all at once. And they assured me they don't operate like that. They want to make sure that they do a few at a time, you know, take them out, prep them, form them, get them inspected, and then form. So they're going to go ahead and phone that back. They spoke with the subcontractor about that. It's going to be taken care of as well. They're going to have a representative there to monitor the work that they're doing and making sure that it's within their scope and how they want to do it. So that's been addressed as well.
There was one location where there was a concern because there was a step that was placed in front of a resident's home who was actually not only elderly, but she's also disabled somewhat, but there was a step. So is that being addressed with, because that wasn't apparently in the original piece of it that...
Well, the part that wasn't in the original plans was, I guess, a miscommunication on the plans, where at first it was called for a handrail, but with that multiple steps, I believe, it would require a handrail. This one goes, the maximum is 7.5 inches, and that's where it's at. So 7.5 inches is one step, so that's why that step is the way it is. It's within the plan and the scope.
Now that's going to get me back to Ford Engineering. How's the grading and everything else going to be done on these driveways? Because to me, it looked like that step was put in because there was an offset that was in there. So was the step planned or was the step put in because there was an offset on the concrete?
They were part of the plans as well as the handrails.
They were part of the plans?
Yes, sir.
But now there's not going to be handrails?
No, there's not going to be handrails. The handrail was step. If there was two steps on there, then it would require a handrail, but since it's just one step, it would require a handrail. So we did what we did.
To me, that's going to concern for some of those residents because there's, you know, to try to walk in that area. So. Do y'all have any questions?
No.
Nope.
You just
all right, so will Ford Engineering be monitoring that area closely, or?
We're out there every week, sometimes more than once a week.
You're out there every week, more than once a week?
Sometimes more than once
a week. Because I've been out there at least three or four times a week, 2 to 3 hours a day, watching what goes on just with the traffic flow and everything else. And that's why I said my concern is now all of a sudden where they've dug out those driveways, you've got, what's the grading going to be on those? Are they going back to level it back off to the street? Or how is that going to look? Are we going to have somebody pulling in and then high centering themselves with the nose of a vehicle to pull in their own driveway on some of those areas up there? That's why I said, that's why I was curious, because I've been out there, I've been watching.
Right. So this is a reconstruction project. Street that was not up to today's standards. So TxDOT asked us to bring this up to today's standards, which means they want 5-foot sidewalks. We don't have 5-foot sidewalks. And they want different slopes on the road. We don't have the slopes that they had on the road. So yes, their driveways are going to be steeper. And there is a maximum slope that we can meet, which is 14%. And that's some of those, that's what it's going to be. Just because we have to extend that sidewalk as often as TxDOT wants us to get 5 foot width and to increase the slope. Yes, some driveways will be greater. If they're at a 10%, they might be at 13 or 14 now. But we're working so that we don't exceed that limit. And that limit is a local standard.
So you're saying from the bottom of the approach to the top of the approach, that's going to be the level? It could be up to 14%.
Maximum, yes, sir. Most of these are a lot less than 14.
But that's a TxDOT standard that we can't get around.
Yes. And it's a local standard, too. It's your standard. So it's, you know, unfortunately, reconstruction is a dirty job. And it's inconvenient. And especially when we're doing a street with a lot of residents on it. And we're trying to do it as cleanly and as minimize the inconvenience. But there is going to be some inconvenience. So we're trying to do it as quickly as possible. Working with the contractor, trying to adjust to meet his methods to make it faster. We've had some ideas. It kind of hurts us. We've gone back to the plans where we're shutting down the road, which was the original design, which allows them to work freely and not have to monkey around with people driving through their traffic, their construction.
And that's only through the certain time that it's completely closed, correct? I think the last time that y'all posted was 7:30 to 5.
The construction will be done from 7:30 to 5, but the road's going to stay closed. It's convenient for homeowners that are there that cannot get into their driveways. So, they
so it's going to be completely closed?
Yes. Until the
different phases will close it off.
And that's fine because I drove by there today, and it doesn't say closed. It says closed through traffic. It doesn't actually say closed.
We can't. Because we have through traffic is those people driving through. People who actually live there have to have access. So that is the typical sign to use, closed to through traffic.
So is there not one that can just say closed to residents that are on that? I'm just saying because that wording is exactly what has been the confusion for ever. Because it's closed to through traffic.
Right. So if you're trying to drive through there, it's closed to you. But if you live there, it's open. I think we understand.
But everybody doesn't understand that.
I absolutely understand what that is. But at the same time, that is absolutely the contention that both our chief of police and Gilbert has fielded all of these questions because people are continuing to drive through there, including people that don't need to be there. So it was just there was a really poor job done of the signage that was there in the first place. And it was extremely confusing to not only homeowners, but to people that were, you know, in that area. So if that's the case, I presume that anyone that's on Benzingelman can drive through that street.
No.
So
just the homeowners.
Well,
the sign says through traffic is closed.
Yes.
So if you're through traffic, you should not be going through there. If the police officers find people driving through there, they can ticket them deeply.
But through traffic, just in that area?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
So technically, it is for the residents in that area only?
Correct.
Yes, ma'am. That, this is standard TxDOT signage.
No,
it's a little confusing to some people, but this, when you design this, the traffic signaling, we went through our traffic engineer. He does these all over the place. This is what they do. And if you're closing it so residents can get there, it's closed to through traffic, but to residents.
So that's,
if there's some extra sign in, I'll contact them to see if we can add another sign.
That, we just need to communicate that on there, because other people think because they live on Ben Zingelman that they can drive through there. I get it that it's only residents.
Part of it, as well, what we do to combat that, to discourage, not combat, but discourage that, is I'm standing here, the construction job's behind me. The only traffic that's going to come this way is on this side of the street. So we leave the opposite side open, the homeowners to get out and in, and this side over here is blocked so they can follow the detour. So the homeowners know that they can go around to this side and get in. But traffic coming this way is barricaded off.
Right.
It's like that on both sides. So if you're coming into the job site, you have to go to the opposite side of the street and turn in. And that's on both sides. If you live there, you're going to do that. Most people, that's supposed to discourage that. Actually, it's against the law for them to go
exactly.
to the job site. So, you know, if you're driving up to a barricade and you see that it's barricaded off, but it's open over here, I would say you're knowingly breaking the law, like right around.
Well, clearly they are. I, you know, that's what I said, but that's basically what the piece of that was.
Those are the only people that stop trying to figure out whether they're going to take a left or they're going to take a right.
If they stop. Now, because the road's closed, they don't think they have to stop the stop sign.
And the stop signs are visible.
Yeah, yeah.
All
right, Kirby's blonde.
Do you have any questions?
They are.
Happen. Tag, you're in.
Changing.
Exactly. All right. Item 8E. Discussion and possible action for designation of 3 council members to attend the Texas Municipal League 2018 conference. The conference is October 10th through the 12th. So, first of all, is there anybody who...
Is it in Austin or Fort Worth?
It is actually in Fort Worth. So, is there anybody... Jerry has... Council Member Lehman has already expressed an interest. So, there's one possible.
I will drive Council Lehman.
Council Member...
I'll drive Councilman Lehman.
Okay, so we have... Councilmember Lehman and Councilmember Wilson. Is there anybody else that can or wants to?
I don't know. I talked to Sylvia about it. I don't know if she's made up her mind or not.
You ought to go at least one seriously. It's a good thing.
I would like to go, but my plate's really full. I really couldn't answer that till later, till the date got closer. Unfortunately.
What is the cutoff date for the hotels?
I believe it's
17th.
17th next week?
17th is when Patty has to start making reservations.
So if we want, if there's a possibility?
Yeah.
So if there's a possibility, if somebody wants to make a motion with Councilmember Lehman, Councilmember Wilson, and potentially Councilmember Apodaca in the event, but knowing that information has to be given to Patty before the 17th.
We got 2 for sure and a maybe.
Correct.
I make a motion, we accept.
All right. Have a motion by Councilmember Grant.
Second.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge to designate Councilmember Lehman, Councilmember Wilson, and a maybe from Councilmember Apodaca to attend the Texas Municipal League at the 2018 conference in Fort Worth, October 10th through the 12th. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Go get lots of information. Right, item 8F, discussion and possible action on installation of solar-powered stop signs at or near 4800 block of Ben Zingelman Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219. At our last meeting, there was discussion regarding signage, and a resident had brought up potential solar stop signs, and Chief has...
At the last meeting, this resident made the suggestion that we consider putting the LED, the solar-powered LED flashing spot at various intersections, specifically along Ben Zingelman Road, above all in Allen Shepherd in that area. So I did some research, and included in your packet was from one company, just basic specifications on how the sign works, sizing and that. I did not get any pricing before the packet had to go out, and so those were added here this evening. I'd like to refer to that pricing. A couple of things to look at that. You'll notice a very large dollar figure at the bottom, $10,855. Please ignore that number. That is just the program that produces the quote is set up to total everything. So that's why we call it COVID. So if you start at the top and look at the sign, the quotes that are not highlighted, depending on how big of a sign that you want to put in, a one single solar powered sign should cost somewhere between $1,400 and up to $1,627.50. Now this gives us everything except the pole. It's a very simple procedure that we delivered. Public Works would go out, unscrew the existing stop sign, put the new sign in, and turn it on. It's all complete one unit. The pricing difference is depending on whether you want a 36 or a 48 inch, how big you want your stop sign. I do believe ours are 30 inches right now, so the $1,400 one is reasonable. If you look at the yellow, green, and blue color coding, I did that to kind of break them up because the difference with those in the solar power is they do have an AC application where they can be wired in like a street light, and we not have to worry about solar powered batteries, gloomy days where the batteries don't get fully charged. The pricing to get those signs, each of those three lines, like you get the one sign, you got to have a controller that comes with a cabinet set. You have to get all three of those items. So what I did is I hand-pulled everything up to the right so that you can see the cost difference. Something that is not figured into this is going to be the cost of getting an electrician out to locate the power and actually do the connection so that they're AC powered. So I would recommend that if we move through this, we need to look at either the 30 or 36 inch stop signs. They'll come with 8 flashing LEDs, one per corner. What we would have to decide additionally going forward is which intersections would be affected and whether you would want to do 4 signs at each intersection or just the flashing signs on Ben Zingelman and not the cross streets there. And look at all of the intersections to include, we had just talked about Buzzalder and Allen Shepherd, but I think it's we should at least consider Charles Conrad and Cross. So again, once we decide how many intersections and how many stop signs per intersection, then it's just simple math, $1,400 or $1,487 times the number of signs.
Chief, our existing poles, are they capable of handling these signs?
I have not gone out and inspected them. I would have to eventually defer to Gilbert, but they should. If they're standard, then plus these are adjustable in the planting mechanism.
And this is just preliminary information because obviously the street's not even, you know, fixed for that. Councilmember Pierce brought this up when Ms. Riggs was speaking about it from the last meeting.
There are other companies. This is just one, right?
Yeah, this is just one right now.
Yeah.
With the understanding, and this was my thought process during this, that this isn't anything that we would act on in the next couple of weeks because of the construction phase, and it probably would make more sense to look at this as a project for the next fiscal budget that's coming up in October. This will give us time to come up with, if we decide this is something that we do want to continue to pursue, then we would get more appropriate quotes, more of them, and then actually get out there, and decide, how many we need. I think that the maximum number to take care of all of those four signs per intersection, so we're looking at, 16 signs.
At least.
So, it all depends on how many we want to do. So, preliminary information, food for thought at this point. To give you guys something to think about, how to proceed if you decide to use.
Yeah, that'll work. Because like I said, I've been out there and I watched the cross traffic on Ben Zingelman right there in front of the senior center parked up there. I mean, you can't tell me that's not outside traffic coming in. Those are residents that are blowing through those stop signs. Well, yeah, no, I saw you out there. And you just hit the brakes enough to stop and proceed on. Like I said, I know Chief's been out there. He's got a camera. I'm out there. I've got a camera watching it just to see what's going on. So I think it would be something we need to bring up during budget time. I personally would like to see that because it's a nice stark reminder, whether it's during the day or at night, that technically there's a stop sign. That's 1001, 1002, 1003, and then you proceed through it.
When I was out there with the camera and the radar gun, I've been out there before and had to do a speed survey to try and address citizen complaints on speeding. And what I saw on speeding wasn't a concern So yeah, I thought that was a bigger concern, and I would support moving forward with this at some point.
And I know that you had said something to previously when we were talking about traffic in general. You were looking at something like this on Ackerman as well,
For
stuff like that. So
I put in as a budget request for the next fiscal year, and that became again very evident today. We did a live Facebook video an 18-wheeler stranded trying to do a turnaround. That was a similar company, much larger sign, same concept, is removing the smaller signs, putting up one big sign with the flashing, the red flashing LEDs, because whenever we talk to these truck drivers that pull over that are coming up, we get two excuses. GPS told me to do it, or I didn't see the sign.
Did that truck come from Ben Zingelman?
No, that truck came from the auto wash. So it turned north.
It came
and
from
then
where?
It turned north out of the auto wash.
Okay.
Came up Ackerman Road, and then for whatever reason realized he was going the wrong way, tried to turn around at Shamrock in front of Myers Bakery, and then got hung up on the approach on the Ackerman Road. High center of the vehicle. And we ended up having to get a road runner out there with a Peterbilt to kind of yank him across it.
How much damage was done to the concrete that's right there?
It is noticeably scraped. We have all the information relayed to the owner in case they want to file an insurance claim. We have not done that yet because we reached out to them. Once they respond to us and tell us whether or not they want to pursue.
So back to our agenda item. So is there any further discussion on our signs for that? All right. Thank you, Chief. We'll be looking for that to come back up soon. All right. Item 8, G, discussion of possible action on adoption of a City of Kirby, Texas debt management policy. Tina will be handing us out some revised information. So, just replace with what she's giving us.
So you're telling me the credit card is vexed?
Not yet. part that's revised is the management policy. So if you have that piece in front of you, then you can just replace it with hers. Tina, are you going to handle this, or is Ann going to? Are y'all going to tag team it?
Oh, we're going to double tag team. Microphone on? I don't think it's on. I know.
Yes,
it's not on here.
As you are all aware, with the passage of the bond issue, we have now been progressing through the process, the timetable that we had talked about before. And with that, the process includes going to Standard & Poor's rating agency and getting a municipal bond rating. And so there are a couple of reasons why both of these policies are put before you this evening, one of which, having policies is good management, it's best management practices. So we think that it's important to look at it from that perspective. Plus, Standard & Poor's has part of their rating policy, which they call their Financial Management Assessment, FMA. And in their FMA, they look at policies, practices for cities and other entities, and they utilize the fact that you do have policies as a plus. And what they hope to have are policies in place such that they understand that sometimes there's turnover on staff, sometimes there's turnover on council, but if you have embedded practices and policies, then the city keeps moving forward even though there over time may be changes. And they also like the fact that you've taken the time and you've had a deliberate action framing your processes relative to debt issuance and your processes relative to fund balance. And both of these, for example, on the debt management policy, I worked with your staff and we looked at other Texas debt management policies for cities that are comparable to the city of Kirby. And we framed this to be specific for the city, but it's very similar to others. One of the things I will note in here, especially in the back, where it talks about all the various debt instruments, those are all debt instruments that are legal for Texas cities. One of the things I believe is my responsibility as your financial advisor is to make sure you have all the tools in the toolbox. And hopefully some of these tools you'll never ever need, but I think it's important to have them in there so that if something happens, you can use them. And I know, and I'll address this proactively, I know there was a question before about the tax notes, borrowing in anticipation of property tax. I think I've mentioned I just had my 32nd anniversary with First Southwest, and I've only done one of these in the 32 years. It was a very unusual situation where a city had drawn down on their fund balance for a big one-time expenditure. They were getting some right-of-way to do a road project. The road project actually ended up blocking off some of the traffic to where their businesses were, and after that happened, they saw their sales tax go down. And as you know, you don't get your property taxes until January 31st. So this was just a one-time kind of help them get some money to tide them over till they got their avalorum taxes. They paid it back. They worked through their budget. They made amendments, and everything was fine. But it was just a one-time tool that helped them in a unique situation. The city before, as you know, you're doing GO bonds now. You've done certificates of obligations. We've not done any limited tax notes, and we've not done any revenue bonds. But again, those are tools that are available for cities to utilize. And then the debt management, I mean, the fund balance policy, I know these are two separate items, but I'll try to answer all the questions now as you think about those. Worked very closely with your staff on that as well. The rating agencies, especially on the fund balance policy, they want to make sure that you don't go below your fund balance. They'll let you set whatever fund balance you deem to be appropriate, but if you've set it, you really don't want to go below it. So what we did in talking about this is a lot of other cities in Texas only have a 25% fund balance. You, through being fiscally conservative and what I would call prudent management, you've really targeted more between 4 to 6 months. Well, we didn't want to put in 6 months, because if you dip below it, then you're automatically out of your policy. So we talked about 25 being the minimum, but up to about 6 months. So that gives you a lot of room in there. So if that one time, one situation comes and you want to temporarily draw it down and put it back up, hopefully we've given you flexibility where if you do that, you won't go below what you've defined as your policy. So again, we looked at the different funds and looked at them separately, and that was part of our thought process in having that range.
Okay, so we're looking to adapt or adopt. This is our policy.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
On the debt management.
Or the debt, right.
Debt management policy. The fund policy will be in just a second.
Yeah, but there's Jerry, more than
you,
the other. Yeah.
Did you have questions? You had some questions.
I was wanting to talk to Tina during the week, but she's busy, and I sat down and reread this thing, and I guess I kind of got a little bit more in my head, and what you just said is kind of conflict of what I possibly wanted to ask, but...
Oh, good, okay.
The only thing we don't know is what this would cost us yet. Sounds like it's something that we should adopt, though, that in case something did happen, we would have something to fall back on.
Yes, sir. I think it's prudent to have these policies. Like I said, we've tried to not get into too much granularity and make it too specific and cumbersome to follow. But I think that these are good standard practices, good guidelines. And, you know, it won't hurt if you adopt this and 2 years from now you come back and look at it. And if you need to make tweaks, the rating agencies understand that. But at least you're being proactive and thoughtful in this process.
We're looking at a 25% in addition or conjunction with 6 months spread.
So what currently the city has close to about 6 months fund balance. So what they're saying is you're not going to have less than.
We need to talk.
Mayor, you can open up the next item.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There really should not be discussion of an agenda item.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Until
I jumped ahead. I've got you.
You can open up the second item to discuss the fund balance policy,
okay,
and then return and vote on each policy separately. But that'll allow Ann and Councilman Grant to have a discussion and get some questions answered.
Yeah, well, one piece of paper and two items. I got you.
Well, there's actually two. There's a fund balance page, too. Yeah.
Somebody didn't keep it.
There's a fund balance here. So I've opened up 8H, so now go.
Okay. So now again, the 6 month and 25%.
So right now, basically you've got a 50% or 6 months of your fund balance. That's what the city's been keeping.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to put your policy at that in case there's some situation that comes along and you want to fall below.
So what we're saying, yes, sir,
is that you can do 3 months or 25% is your minimum, and you won't go below that. So that gives you a little bit of room. Not that the city's planning to draw your fund balance down, but like I gave the example earlier, there may be some unforeseen expenditure. Yes, sir, where you want a little bit of flexibility.
Okay. Yeah, because that kind of threw me for a minute because you went from – because I'm looking at 50, and you went to 25, and I went, well, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. You shorten the spread there real quick, but I see now what you're doing. Okay, that makes sense. Sure.
Mark, do you have an opinion?
Well,
I'm sure you do, but would you like to give us?
May to the... the two specific items that Ann mentioned, I will take responsibility or blame, whichever you want to assess it, with having raised those two issues with Tina this afternoon. The change in paragraph I of the debt management policy was done because the way it was originally worded seemed to me that it could be interpreted that the council was delegating a decision about what bid to accept in terms of an interest rate when debt was issued, was delegating that to the financial advisor. And I was not comfortable with that. I think that is a governing body decision, and I wanted it clarified that the duty of the financial advisor was to evaluate the bids and make a recommendation, but ultimately the decision is made by the council. So that's why that minor wording change was made. As Tina said, in the last phrase under the competitive sale. I also mentioned to Tina the question that Ann referred to about the borrowing in anticipation of property tax, because very much like Ann, I've been doing this work since about 1990, and I'm familiar with the other four types of debt issuance by governmental bodies, but I've never had a governmental body that's had to borrow in anticipation of property tax. And what I said to Tina was, if that happened, that means that the city has bigger problems than just borrowing against the future tax revenues. And I think Ann said that a little bit more diplomatically, but still, it's the same point. So those are the two points that I made, and I share the view of your financial advisor that adopting these policies is a good idea. It shows not only being proactive, but it shows prudent management by the governing body, and it provides some guidance and discipline for city staff.
Well, it seems to me, too, it removes a lot of ifs and ands. If things constant changes, things change, and the people, as she said. So you've got the policy that you can always tweak, but you've got the basics right here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay, so on 8G for the debt management policy, is there any further questions on that one? Okay, so on 8G, I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the action of the adoption of the City of Kirby debt management policy.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Autridge, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to adopt the Texas debt management policy for the City of Kirby. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Bateman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Item 8H, discussion and possible action on adoption of a fund balance policy for the City of Kirby, Texas. I'll entertain a motion for that one.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the action of adoption of a fund balance policy for the City of Kirby.
Second.
Right, we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to adopt the fund balance policy for the City of Kirby, Texas.
You got it.
Further discussion? discussion? Okay, will our city secretary please call roll?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, so the adoption of a fund balance policy has passed. All right, item. Thank you, Anne. Thanks, Anne.
She's gone.
It's
lunch, dinner, I'm gone. And I don't blame her. It's like, see you.
8I. Discussion and possible action on a temporary certificate of occupancy for Greater Joy Church located at 5020 Old Seguin Road, Suite 1A, Kirby, Texas. Mr. Cousin, would you like to speak? And did I read your last name right? I'm sorry.
It's Zarb Cousin, but I've been called worse. Zarb Cousin,
sorry. I did not see the dash.
Problem. Good evening, Council and Mayor. Thank you for the privilege of being able to speak with you for a few moments. 2 weeks ago, this chamber was illuminated by the presence of Aisha Zarb-Kazin, who is my wife. She took this podium to speak on behalf of the church while I was out on business with my full-time job. I am the bivocational pastor of Greater Joy Church. So I work to support my ministry habit. That's what's going on there. I started Greater Joy Church 14 years ago. After years of sharing the building with other churches, after being in several locations that did not support our vision, words fall short of describing the elation that our congregation felt whenever we came to 5020 Old Seguin Road nearly 6 months ago, where we were able to invest in the community, invest in the building in order to do good work. And invest we did. We are not a wealthy congregation. Our congregation is made up, much like this community, of working families that share a value of faith and family. And we sacrificed to invest $50,000 into this building to make it visibly appealing and to make it functional and useful for our church. Immediately, we got to work in the community, feeding people, providing counseling, providing spiritual support. And being a light and a refuge in this city. Aside from myself, the church employs and pays three other staff members. We are a presence of good, positivity, hope, and joy in the city of Kirby. We have home-cooked meals twice a week to serve to anyone that comes through the doors free of charge. We provide monetary assistance to individuals in the community that are facing difficult times. We provide financial counseling to those same people to avoid the same mistakes that got them in that situation in the first place. We host over 100 children per week in youth services in a vibrant youth ministry at Greater Joy Church. At Greater Joy, we like to say parents don't grab their children to church. Children grab their parents to church because they love coming so much. All of this came to a screeching halt 6 weeks ago when we were forced to be out, when we were found to be out of compliance on the certificate of occupancy specifically related to the fire alert system and related to a history that goes back much longer than the church has been there. We have fallen and become the sole victim of an unscrupulous landlord and the decision of the city to not allow us in our building. In the 6 weeks since we've been out of the facility, no less than 600 people have gone without that free meal that they could rely on. No less than hundreds of people have missed out on the spiritual and the general support that they get from being a part of this congregation. I do not shirk in our responsibility as it relates to this matter. It was my mistake and my mistake alone in believing the words of the landlord that our certificate of occupancy was taken care of. And I don't attempt to avoid that responsibility. But I'm here to tell you today, and as we've demonstrated in the recent weeks, that Greater Joy is ready to do whatever is necessary in order to come into compliance. We understand that safety is paramount. And through a meeting that was attended by several people that are here today on this a few weeks ago, we've come to understand that
there is an option for a fire watch relative to accommodating the concerns with the fire alert system, that if a firefighter is present during our services, understanding that we are an assembly, that would meet the needs of that portion of the compliance, which was the concern that brought it to a close. And we understand that was even shared with us by Assistant Chief Wilburn that there are even some of these great firefighters that are ready to serve in that capacity for us, and we'd be delighted to have them and compensate them as well. I don't want you to rule in favor of allowing us to return to our good work because we are desperate. I want you to rule to allow us to return to our work because it's the right thing to do. This once thriving church has suffered massively as a result of being homeless for 6 weeks. I don't want to create a sob story for you, but I don't honestly know how much longer we can make it at this rate. And I can't begin, and I don't believe that it was an intended consequence of the decision that was made to put us out of the church, that would be our end. But I am asking you today that with the promises that I have made, that we will be in compliance and cooperate and do whatever it is necessary, that you would make the decision that this accommodation suggested by the city officials, that we have a fire watch present during our services, would allow us immediately back in to our services so we can continue feeding people and sharing, as we say in our motto, the light and love of Jesus Christ. So I thank you very much. I'm happy to answer any questions, and thank you for your time.
Pastor, one thing that I would like to bring out, I know the whole thing started out on the fire alarm system. Personally, I'd like to give you the permission to reopen, but that's my opinion. But I think there's got to be some things attached to that. In the letter that we got in our packet, it stated that Pastor has a temporary solution he would like to present to you. He is going to ask if we would consider an alternate fire system for his suit only, one that he will have installed. The pastor is also requiring a temporary certificate of occupancy to allow them to conduct church services. I would like to say, if you get a fire alarm system put in and we can give you X number of days, I'm not going to pinpoint a day, but if I said you could open up this Sunday, but you have to have this alarm system in these X number of days that we give you. If you got it in, we're in good shape.
Yes, sir.
If you don't have it in, we're going to shut you down, and we'll just have to go from there.
Yeah, we have...
That's on the fire alarm system. The food thing that you've got in there, now you're saying that y'all just prepare some food and you give that away to people that need it. That is no different than some of the other churches here in town. I know the Baptist Church, they have a Sunday
cover dish dinner.
Dinner every week, you know. But that's people bring food in or something, but it's given away. It's not sold.
That's correct.
Now, if that is the case, then I would think you wouldn't have to have all these other permits because the church doesn't have them. But we're looking at two different things.
Let Chief Boyce and Officer Thompson also speak to that.
Yeah, I'll turn it over to Thompson. has been an active part of this and is probably the best person to speak.
So what's going on is the fire alarm system has been down since 2016. It's been red tagged. And the Greater Joy in the church and in the Greater Joy Spoon and the Blessed Spoon, the fire alarm system is down there. So if anything happens in there and they're not present, the alarm is not going to sound. The only one that will sound is in Suite, I believe it's 8, and that is going to be the Winget. Another major issue with,
did you say Suite 8?
I believe so. I'd have to check my notes, Mayor Pierce. Another major thing that is going on is the roof. The owner, Mr. Lefowski, hasn't replaced the roof, which is causing leaks. And Pastor Z can tell you that, you know, almost all the ceiling tiles in the back part where your office is and a lot in the front are out. One of the main things Tim Zelnick, the fire marshal, said in a commercial business or a place of assembly is those ceiling tiles have to be replaced. Pastor Z said he had no problem with replacing them, but what's going to happen is the roof is going to continue leaking because it hasn't been fixed. And I do have photographic evidence of it. I have sent certified letters about the structural maintenance issues to Anna Lefowski. Her son, Mike Lefowski, is the Main Street Property Management. I just got the letter back today, the return, that she's gotten it. I have not been able to check my phone. I was in class this week. I wasn't able to check my phone to see if she has called for us to set the solution. I did give her, I think, 20 days after I get my receipt back to have both the fire alarm system fixed and the roof.
And if that doesn't happen, then what?
Then I need to talk to building and standards. I will then get with Gilbert, and he will send the letter to building and standards. We will have a meeting when we have our meeting here in a few weeks, I believe is when it is, and see what building and standards.
The only reason I'm asking is because, unfortunately, even if a certificate of occupancy, a temporary, was granted, but then that came back, then you would have to shut it all down again, correct?
Could we not expedite
it? It depends on what building and standards says. City council is the one that can say, yes, it can happen or no, it can happen because we, for the certificate of occupancy. With the food, they will have to get a food handler's permit to do the food.
Okay. Yeah, but let me ask you a quick question. Couldn't we expedite the meeting? We don't have to wait 2 weeks. Can we? We have things called telephone, call these people, building the standards, have an emergency meeting to facilitate these folks?
I did talk to one of the board members about, I didn't tell them exactly what was going on, but I did ask them, can we have an emergency meeting? And she was okay with it. Gilbert talked to her on the 4th of July, is when we kind of spoke about this, about expediting an emergency meeting to have.
And?
I just haven't.
But
I just
that,
haven't got.
Is that 20
know.
Days a state statute?
No.
Statute or that? Okay.
That's okay.
That's what I wanted to make sure because, like I said, if there's something that we have to by law, they have so much time to respond. I just don't want the church to be in the exact same situation that, you know, that then something supersedes that.
The reason I gave them 20 days because I have to give them enough time where they can address the issue and get it fixed. I can't say you have 24 hours to do this with such a major, you know, violation that is going on. I also think I was kind of looking in the governmental code that if he tries to say, well, the building's grandfather clause in, I don't have to do this, that does not apply. There is no law that is a grandfather
law. This is a health and safety issue. It has nothing to do with any type of law. But also, you know, the Shamrock, I believe since I can remember, they've had a blue tarp temporarily on top of that for the same reason of the leakage.
I have addressed that as well.
Okay, but what I'm saying is...
Go back to that.
What I'm saying is we couldn't... Look, the thing is, well, first of all, everybody in the building needs to get together and go to talk to them. That's what I know them personally. I've dealt with them as a constable.
I've explained to them.
But what I was going to say is, could we not temporarily stop the leakage by the same as that other, because, and grant them?
If I can, each time there's a leak, we go on the roof and we patch. We literally do that. And typically whenever the tiles get, we replace them. Like, we're very proactive because we've asked the guy to come out and do it, and he just refuses. He just refuses. So we get up there and we do what we can. What happens is like what happened the previous week, where you get 3 days of rain and it just absolutely just is just, you just can't, you have to wait. I've literally been on the roof pushing water off that roof. So, and my understanding, Officer Thompson, is that the leak in the roof does not just affect our suite.
It's all over. Yeah. So you're willing to have the person stand by the fireman until you can put in?
Yes, sir. And we've already had ADT come out. We've had the company that he used come out. They're working with the city, as I understand, to get permitting. That conversation is already going on. I would like to inform the council that the landlord has threatened us tenants that if we don't pay to get this system fixed, our individual portion, that he's going to evict us. I can almost guarantee you that he'll do the same thing as far as the roof is concerned. That's just, as you know, to put it on the record, that's probably what's going to take place.
But that's going on to a different issue with the landlord, with the problems that we're having there. What we're still looking at, though, is you setting forth a fire watch for the times that you're in there. We talked about your health code, about getting the food handler's licensing or something of that nature.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, if they do that, is that acceptable?
Like, according to the fire marshal, it is.
Okay.
But I would like to say something, and I would like to address you. I don't have to give him 20 days. He's known about this.
I want to get to the point where we can get them back in, and then we can go after.
But she's giving them 20 days on paper.
Yes. Okay.
I didn't put it on paper.
No, she only was verbal. Look, okay. Can we do?
I'm sorry.
The point is, get them in business, and then we'll address
the
landlord. So I make a motion that we issue the temporary permit, allow the church to come back with the fire watch included, with the food handler's license included, and you're back in business.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, but hold on. I have a question.
Wait, hold on. We have a motion by Councilmember Grant.
Nice.
But we still
seconded.
Have discussion.
I know.
Okay, sorry.
But we have to have a motion. Seconded by Councilmember Pierce to authorize a temporary certificate of occupancy with the stipulation set forth.
Food handler license.
Correct. All right. Now is there further discussion?
Officer Thompson, what is the issue with the food handler's license pertaining to the Blessed Spoon versus the other local churches in Kirby having dinners?
I can even answer that one.
When I was talking to the fire marshal, if they're going to be making the food in-house, they're going to need it, but if they have another house and they bring it in, they would not need a food handler license. I would like to bring something up real quick.
They cook at Kirby Baptist Church.
Yeah, they do. They always have.
So do they need a food handling license?
Mm-hmm. Yep. If you prepare it on site.
Hold on.
Okay. Which is what I was going back to. Even if we do that, if that goes to that, then they're out again. Like, the entire building is out again.
A suggestion, just a thought, if I may humbly. There's a large corporation that's involved here, Dollar General, and if somebody spoke to their general counsel about what was going on in that place, I really think that that may be an effective move against Mr. Latofsky, because they have...
The backstory, we had an issue with the rain running down on all the power boxes. And you, well, it's, I hate being, well, you push it to the max, he'll do it. But that's what it takes.
Yeah.
I've dealt with them enough times and their properties and their evictions. And there is no way in the world that he's going to cut off Dollar Store. And I'm sure that they've got a Texas standard lease where they have to maintain the property and a health and safety issue.
I think we need to stick to the motion that
yes,
you made, Mr.
Please,
Grant.
I'm sorry.
And get the council
Let's get this
to
done.
Discuss that. I'm glad to visit with Officer Thompson. I do want to say that the local government code, I think it's Chapter 54, and the city's ordinance on the Building and Standards Commission need to be reviewed before we can even think about whether a process can be expedited. Unfortunately, there may not be as much expedition as anyone would like. I think it's also be important to recognize that the city needs to deal with the city ordinances and health and safety. The relationship between landlord and tenant is between landlord and tenant. I do think that the suggestions about the tenants working together to try and put pressure on the landlord may be an appropriate thing to do, but the city needs to limit itself to just those things that relate to health and safety.
Okay.
The motion the council has before it appears to me to deal with fire safety and health safety, and so it's going in the direction that y'all need to go.
Okay.
So we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to allow the temporary certificate of occupancy with those stipulations. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Y'all have it back now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now y'all can woo!
Thank you all for coming as well.
Thank you.
All right. Item 9A, request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events, community interests. Councilmember Apodaca.
The 4th of July event, unfortunately, the fireworks didn't happen, of course, but I've had a lot of people tell me that they're glad that it was going to get rescheduled, so that's still a go.
Mm-hmm.
That's still going to happen. Okay. So that was one thing. I've had a lot of customers come into the shop, and they've been really praising the police department. Lots of good comments, and I've had some older residents of Kirby tell me that they're comfortable. They see the patrols going around, and they like that. So I just kind of wanted to mention to you. I know that you hear a lot of complaints, but there's a lot of praise going on too. And on a lighter note, we're still waiting for the video from the police department, the lip sync video.
Yes.
I've had several people ask me about that. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
I understand one's in the works.
Okay. All right. That's it.
Councilmember Wilson.
Okay, I want to tell both the chiefs how proud I am that we live in the city of Kirby and have the emergency care that we have. And as far as I know, with Officer Voskis, it's not his duty, but he's been, I know, at least at two where he's helped bring somebody back to life. And we're talking the police officers, and you know, they're trained that way, but he has really jumped in and helped both of them. And my little babies got out this Tuesday, and I was walking ditches, and I know I'd called and talked to the chief about it, but we really need to look into our ditches through all of the city of Kirby, because one was at Hobo Fest one time, we had a fire on Alan Shepherd, and the trucks couldn't get back to the back of it because of the trees and things. And I'd really like, and it's just not my street and my ditch. You know, it goes all the way down to the apartments and everybody else. We really need to hit the alleyways and the ditches for where the public need to clean their part up, and then the city needs to pick up and clean it because of the safety of people's fences. You know, people are walking back in the fences, and usually I'm not a ditch walker, but I walked and walked and walked looking for my rat.
I'm sorry.
And then also, we from Kirby Baptist Church took 33 people to Corpus Christi 2 weeks ago to work on, and we did Salvation Army, we did the food bank, we helped with a building that was torn, and they helped paint it. And it was just a blessing to watch basically their kids from the city of Kirby that went, and they slept on floors, and we cooked, but we didn't have food handling permits. But just a blessing, and y'all should be proud of the kids that we have in the city of Kirby. No whining, no nothing. They were up at 6:30, and we didn't get to bed till 9. And so I was very proud of all the kids that went. And I think that's me.
I welcome the rain on 4th of July. Disappointed that the festivities were canceled, but I can tell you that it is in the works to be rescheduled for Labor Day weekend. So, and thanks for everybody coming out.
Patty, I'd like to ask a question. Have you heard anything from the state on our request for EDC? I wonder if we need to resend them something, or because we're ready to go with this thing. It's just a matter of us getting the last details taken care of. Okay.
That's it.
Yes, seeing that Ben Zingelman is under the construction, it's obviously going to keep going. I think we ought to consider moving the night out to the larger park. And I also think we ought to just keep it there because, I mean, the poor neighborhood is inundated with parking. And I think that if we moved it to Friendship Park, that we'd find we had people that stayed longer and we'd have a lot more people coming. So could we please check into that?
Can I?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. One of the reasons we never moved it to Friendship Park is because then you get all of Sunrise area over. And now Sunrise has been renting the park for their area for National Night Out.
Do you want that discussion on our next agenda then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you put that on the next agenda?
That's it, ma'am. Thank you. And thank everybody for coming.
Very well. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Councilmember Pierce. Oh.
I just want to say what other council members are echoing what Dave said about our fire, our EMS, our PD, and including Public Works. I'm trying to catch up to Gilbert out there on a specific timeline. We'll just say 1 o'clock. He was already done, ready to go, and he was moving on. They're that busy, so hats off. You, your crew, everything else out there. But that goes along with Chief Patty, all of ours here at administration then. But there's a major problem on Ben Zingelman. I don't know how we're going to fix it, solve it. Like I told Gilbert, if he needs anything, I'm there to help him. But Ben Zingman's going to be a long-term problem. It hasn't moved up. It's on the small little area there at Allen Shepherd, but when he gets up to the longer portion to Crest, being that it's going to be in front of you, it's just going to be echoing all the way down, or as a reverb all the way down that street.
You're right.
So, don't have anything to put on the agenda. Just want to thank everybody for coming out. And like I said, thank you for Fire, PD, Public Works, everybody. That's it.
And I'll echo all of that. And going back to what Mark talked about with the health and safety and those ordinances and stuff. So when we're working on our agendas coming up, if you can just remember to mention that, to put it on our agenda in whatever way we need to word that so that we can address those early on instead of behind the eight ball. July 26th, is our budget workshop at 6 p.m. So that's our next council meeting. And I believe that Parks and Rec may have made a... July 26th, I apologize, is the budget workshop at 6 p.m. after the Thursday of our next meeting. So budget workshop July 19th at 6 p.m. That'll be police, animal control, fire, public works, and operating on July 19th. Okay. 6 p.m. So that is next Thursday. All right. Then what I was going to say was July 26th. I thought that Parks and Rec did a Thursday for something at 5:30, but we have a one at 6 p.m. That's what I was trying to say. So it might interfere. But that's why I went to July 26th, because I thought that Parks and Rec had just said that they were going
to. So they have to shut down early.
So if they're going at, because I think they said 5:30, but then that's only going to give them 30 minutes, so that may be hard for them to do. So we have the other agenda items, and that was it. I also wanted to, we've mentioned all the other employees, but I also wanted to mention our very limited animal care staff. They are doing a lot with just the minimum staff that they have and taking care of those animals. There were 115 animals that were transported to Wisconsin, some from our shelter, some from Schertz, Cibolo, some other areas. So that helped out a lot. But again, they are always looking for donations, bleach, what have you, newspapers, those kinds of things. So if anybody gets a chance to go up there and volunteer, they're looking for volunteers as well. Patty, what are other, we have Parks and Rec, they're looking for people for beautification, recycling?
Parks and Rec is cool.
Okay. Okay, I thought I could have sworn we were looking for people from two of our meetings, or two of our committees. If not, that's great, because I thought beautification recycling. I thought beautification recycling was very understaffed. But if you can get that information back, and if we can put that on the website as well, that we're looking for people. And the Little Free Library, will that be on our next agenda?
That's up to you, Chief.
And for an update on that, or will that be August?
We'll put it on next agenda.
Next agenda? Okay. And again, Dawn is here, actually, so she's right there. She's still collecting books for the Little Free Libraries. And I did want to just double-check our donation areas. I know Fire Department, Police Department, and Dispatch. So is City Hall not one of those places? I know, but are we not? Because we've actually been putting out that City Hall was a donation spot, so I'm just.
I think they can continue on with the understanding that after 5 o'clock.
Well, yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. And Donna's actually set up her own little email address, so people can also email there, and she'll be able to set up a time to pick up books as well. So if anybody has any. All right. With that, adjourned.